The following content originally aired on the Live and Local program, which airs every weekday morning from 9 a.m. to noon on WKVT AM 1490, your source for news, talk, and the arts. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening.
The wind is in from Africa. Last night I couldn't sleep. Oh, you know it sure is hard to leave here, Carrie, but it's really not my home.
Welcome back to the Live and Local program, WKVT AM 1490. Your host, Chris Lenoir, starting off a segment for the month of February. It is the 50th anniversary of February as National Heart Health Month. We're going to be joined every Monday morning at this time by folks from the Center for Cardiovascular Health at Brattleboro Memorial Hospital. We have Phaedra McDonough and Dr. Mark Burke here in the studio with us. Good morning to both of you. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
And the idea behind these segments that we're going to have for four Mondays in February, right? It's Monday.
Monday.
Oh, thank goodness.
It is Monday.
Yes. Thank goodness. I thought we were going to have to relive Groundhog Day again, the way they do in that movie, is heart health, but specifically as it pertains to women and some of the risk factors here. This press release I got from you all at Brattleboro Memorial Hospital, I don't know which one you want to talk about it, but there has been some progress in raising awareness about women and heart disease in terms of it being the number one killer of women, but people aren't necessarily making the connection between risk factors that go around heart disease. I actually think we just came out of one of the biggest risk factors for heart disease, right? Super Bowl Sunday
The
foods that we eat and the sedentary thing. Maybe men more so than women, but certainly everything we do on Super Bowl Sunday is a risk factor for heart disease.
I would agree, most of it.
So where to begin in this conversation in terms of reaching out to the audience you want, in terms of reaching out to women and letting them know their risk factors for heart disease? Phaedra?
Well, I think of February as the month in which we honor our heart. And it is also the month that the American Heart Association has a campaign called Go Red for Women. And it was launched in 2003. And it's to increase awareness among women about their risks for heart disease. And so we're here today to talk to you about those risks because it is the number one killer of women prematurely.
Yeah, and most people think it's men. I mean, it is actually still the number one killer in men as well, or is
correct,
it pretty
correct,
close there
for
too?
For both sexes.
Right, but people do think of heart disease, they think of heart attacks, they think of the stress of heart attacks, and they sometimes think, oh, this is something men have to worry about more than women, not really taking into account the amount of stress in a woman's life.
That's right, and I'm glad that you bring that up, because that's the type of myth that we are trying to overcome. In fact, of all the diseases that kill women prematurely, cardiovascular disease ranks a strong number one. In fact, it outranks the next seven causes of premature death combined for women.
Including breast cancer.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
The two main causes of cardiovascular death being heart attack and strokes.
So this afternoon, this is something we should mention as we do these segments every Monday in February, in addition to you coming on the program here, there's blood pressure screenings at the Center for Cardiovascular Health, which is on the third floor of the Richards Building.
I think they're going to be doing the screenings on the first floor.
It'll be on the first floor.
Yeah.
Right there on the ground floor of the Richards Building.
The ground floor of the Richards Building.
Right. Right. And so that's really kind of the first step in terms of detecting, in terms of checking if you're at risk for heart disease, these blood pressure screenings?
Yes, high blood pressure is one of the main risk factors for heart disease, and it's primarily preventable. Approximately one in three Americans has high blood pressure, and we define high blood pressure as pressures 140 over 90 or greater. And it significantly increases your risk for a heart attack, stroke, kidney disease. And unfortunately, only about 50% of people who have high blood pressure are on recommended treatment or have it well controlled.
So to amplify what Phaedra just said, the people often talk about, oh, I have good genes or bad genes. And it turns out the genetics really are not the biggest consideration. So for hypertension, the risk of developing hypertension is about 30% genetic, which means it's 70% environmental. So what you do to yourself, what you eat and how you exercise and that sort of thing really are the bigger drivers of the development of disease.
And if people were to come into the screening, this is one of those opportunities for you to talk to them about some of these risk factors that are around. Ask them some questions about their lifestyle. What kind of questions are you asking? What kind of information are you going for? Or even just the doctor's visit. If somebody were to go to see their primary care provider, somebody were to come into the center after being referred there, what sort of lifestyle questions are you asking and looking for?
Well, like Dr. Burke just brought up, we would ask them if anybody in their family suffers from high blood pressure. We would talk to them about the sodium content in their diet. Most Americans eat way too much sodium, which does have a direct effect on their blood pressure. If they're overweight, we will talk to them about that, as that's a huge risk factor for high blood pressure. Smoking, getting regular exercise helps to decrease your high blood pressure. So questions like that.
Yeah. Now, I thought I heard at one point, too, like smoking among women is actually on the rise in terms of usage of tobacco products and things like that. Is that actually the case, or maybe we just sort of we underestimate, I almost used a Bushism there, but we underestimate the amount of women who are smoking and or using tobacco?
I think actually the rate of smoking overall has gone down, including among women.
Okay.
That's my guess.
And I have right my hands here the very newly published American Heart Association statistics on heart disease that just arrived in my mailbox. So I haven't had a chance to absorb all of it yet. But where's smoking? Anyway, overall, the rate of smoking has gone down. It's still a problem, but it's much less of a problem.
Mm-hmm. So we're probably, in terms of a higher risk factor at this point, diet and then not enough exercise are probably some of the things that are more. You're talking about a woman's lifestyle, maybe she's the caretaker for the family. She also has a job. She doesn't necessarily have the time to go out and do the things that she needs to do to take care of her heart health.
That's true. And In my practice over the past 10 years, I've noticed women are very good at bringing their partners in to be evaluated for symptoms that they think may be heart disease. But for some reason, they forget about themselves. And so we're trying to raise that awareness. And the risk factors, I'll just lay out the 8 risk factors that are concerning for women. And smoking is very important. Being overweight or being obese, having diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, poor diets, sedentary lifestyle, and also genetically a family history of premature coronary artery disease are the main risk factors for heart disease.
Now, can we define coronary artery disease versus some of the other heart diseases that are people are at risk for? Is there some sort of distinction there that you're looking at?
So there are many kinds of heart disease.
Right.
And so coronary artery disease is obviously one. If you think of the heart, if we confine our conversation just to the heart, the vascular system is obviously much larger. If you think of the heart like an engine, there's an electrical system, there's a fuel system, there's the mechanical, the pistons and so on. And the heart kind of has those kinds of systems as well. So the coronary artery disease is the fuel system.
Mm-hmm.
So when the arteries get obstructed, that's a problem. And most of the risks that we're talking about are that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, the lifestyle choices somebody makes, the unhealthy lifestyle choices, coronary artery disease sounds to me like one that
It's a big one. But then it also, those other risk factors also lead to things like congestive heart failure, which can be directly related to or independent of developing coronary artery disease. And it's a growing problem. It's a big problem for us, heart failure.
So when we talk about what women in particular need to be doing to be aware of these issues, is it just as simple as see your doctor more regularly about these things? Are there things that they could be thinking about outside of the physician's office, outside of the clinician's office, that they could be doing rather than just going in for the screening?
Well, cardiovascular disease or coronary artery disease is quite preventable with some practices, lifestyle practices that women can do. And one of the things that is very helpful at decreasing your risk is controlling your weight. 70% of Americans are overweight, and of that number, 35% of us are obese. And that number is continuing to climb. And that is primarily because we eat too much and don't exercise enough. And this is very concerning because it causes much of the risk factors associated with disease, as well as many other diseases. And we calculate your ideal body weight by comparing your height with your weight, which measures your body mass index. And this is something that is readily available on the internet. You can look this up. And all doctor's offices have this number. So when you go visit your doctor, you can ask them, what is your body mass index? And take a look at the chart and see where you fall. So obesity is considered a body mass index greater than 30, and overweight is greater than 25. So I encourage women to know where they fall here and do some, increase their exercise, improve their diets in order to control this better.
Yeah. We're going to take a break right now, but we're talking with Phaedra McDonough and Dr. Mark Burke from the Center for Cardiovascular Health at Brattleboro Memorial Hospital. They are a sponsor of the Live and Local program. Healthy Hearts Start Here. You can learn more online at bmhvt.org, and we'll be back after these messages on Live and Local. And I miss my clean white linen and my fancy French coat. I am on a lonely road. It was 50 years ago in 1964 when President Lyndon B. Johnson declared February National Heart Health Month. And we're visiting during the month of February this year with folks from Brattleboro Memorial Hospital's Center for Cardiovascular Health, Phaedra McDonough, a nurse practitioner with the center, Dr. Mark Burke, cardiologist at the center, and a particular focus this year on heart health for women, awareness and prevention tips for women. It is the number one killer of women. And talking a lot about the risk factors here, some of the misperceptions about the risk factors being genetic versus lifestyle, but there's a lot of things that people can do with their lifestyle to maintain heart health, starting with diet. We talked a little bit about the sedentary lifestyle and sodium and some of the things to watch for in foods, but as we were just talking off air, portions are a big part of this as well in terms of how much you eat.
Yes, thanks, yeah. Chris. So in regards to diet, which is one of the major preventative ways in which women can ward off cardiovascular disease, is to eat foods that are low in sugar and high in unprocessed foods. Less than 1% of Americans actually meet at least 4 of the 5 healthy dietary goals in order to prevent cardiovascular disease. Diets that I recommend for women and for men as well would be the Mediterranean diet. The DASH diet is very good, as well as the Ornish diet, all of which emphasize fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, omega-3 fatty acids, which you find in fish, low sodium, and lean meats.
Now, you talk about, I've heard of the Mediterranean diet, DASH, and what was the other one, Ornish?
Ornish diets.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about what distinguishes those three diets.
Well, they're all very similar in that they have they have a lot of unprocessed foods and low sugar. The DASH diet we give to our folks who have congestive heart failure and hypertension because it really emphasizes a low-sodium diet.
Mm-hmm. Is that an acronym, DASH?
Dietary approaches for stopping hypertension.
I had a feeling. You know, or just a dash of this, just a dash of that,
right,
kind of thing.
That's very well put.
Well, it's important, a dash of salt.
Right.
So a quarter teaspoon is 600 milligrams of sodium, and the recommendation is to keep it well below 2,400 milligrams. So it's not very much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Ornish, what is that? What characterizes
Ornish is
that?
The one who actually, probably about 30 years ago now, really began focusing on lifestyle. He was, at the time, it was revolutionary, and today it seems like a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And so he popularized a diet which was similar to the Mediterranean and the DASH diet, but was much more stringent. You have to practically be an ascetic on a mountaintop to eat it. it's really hard to maintain, and most people can't maintain the diet because it's way too strict. But actually, people who did maintain that diet had much, much significantly reduced risk of heart problems and some regression of coronary disease, which means that at the moment we can't make the blockages that cause heart attacks go away. You can improve it slightly very slightly with this diet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's the thing about heart disease, right? A lot of things that you can do with your lifestyle can help maintain heart health, ward off these heart diseases. Hopefully, you know, if you have some risk factors, you can do some things. And when you're talking, Phaedra, in the previous segment about exercise, some people hear a phrase like exercise, they get a little scared, maybe that they've got to be in the gym 5 days a week, 5 hours a day, sort of thing. But what are you talking about in terms of the exercise health just to maintain your heart health? It's not as extreme as that.
Right. And you're right. When I talk to people about how they need to exercise, I often get the deer in the headlight looks like, oh, no, more work. but it's, the benefit of it far outweighs the discomfort of having to start doing it. So most of us do not get enough physical activity in our days, which can lead to high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, and obesity. And the recommended activity regime is 150 minutes a week of moderate exercise. That can be broken down into 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And it's okay to split this up into 10 to 15 minute intervals during the day, so long as you get your heart rate up into the aerobic zone.
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes, three times a day, will give you the same workout as a full 30 minutes. And I tell people this because their 10 minutes here and there is maybe much more doable for folks who work
right.
all day long. You can go out during your lunch breaks and walk 10 minutes, walk 10 minutes after work, and then 10 minutes in the evening. So moderate exercise can include things like brisk walking, biking, skiing, snowshoeing, contra dancing, or line dancing. There's many activities that can be done. Walking up a flight of stairs. If you have a choice between an elevator and a flight of stairs, do the stairs. It's a great way to get a quick aerobic workout into your day. Another thing that's really important for women is that they get some strength training in.
Mm-hmm.
And the recommendation is 2 days a week of some form of strength training in the form of free weights, Nautilus equipment. Knee bends are excellent strength training exercises, as well as push-ups. This is good for your muscles and for your bones throughout your life.
Do you think people misunderstand the strength training, the upper body strength training, think that's really not a cardiovascular workout? I mean, maybe not quite on the same level as walking, but you have to breathe, your heart is
yes.
working, pumping blood. That is still considered cardiovascular exercise, is it not?
Well, the importance of strength training really is you have to be able to hold your body up,
mm-hmm.
right? And you need to have balance to do the things, to walk.
Right.
And that's really where the strength part comes in. It's not aerobic.
Okay.
It's not generally aerobic. You can do strength training in a way that's aerobic, but it's not what most people do.
Right.
You don't need to do strength training. You can just pick up a heavy book.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be weights. It doesn't have to be dumbbells. It can be anything, cans, I mean, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to go to a gym to do it.
Yeah. And I always, my wife teases me because I always park far away from the grocery store in the parking lot. I say, but we're walking a little bit extra there to get to the grocery store and back. So, see, I'm not just, parking far away because I don't want anyone to dent our car. I'm thinking about our heart health here.
That's good. One thing
but
that
also, you don't want your car dented.
Yeah, also.
One thing that I do, which I find helpful, is if I go for a walk, I might bring a couple of weights with me to hold
yeah.
in my hand, and that you can get it both done at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Now, very often, the woman in the family is the decider on healthcare decisions, is the person making a lot of the decisions around diet and around, what's on the menu, things like that. It's really important for women to have these sort of habits as part of their lives in order to make sure it's part of everybody in their family's lives, I'd imagine.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah. So how do you talk to women about that in terms of encouraging them to practice these habits? Do you actually make a point of that? Do you say this is your, these are things that you are teaching your kids as well or your partner?
Yes. Like we said earlier, women are great at taking care of other folks and forget about themselves. And I want to just stress to women that we can prevent ourselves from dying prematurely or struggling for years with heart disease if we control our risk factors. And I do talk to women every day about their risk factors in my office. And I also like to remind women that your lifestyle behaviors throughout your life has a downstream effect on your children. And so how you eat, if you exercise, if you smoke, these lifestyles that you lead will likely be picked up with your by your children, and they themselves will have heart disease. And that heart disease is not hereditary, but for the most part. It's generally related to how you live your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good message, and something that would be reinforced if people go to the Center for Cardiovascular Health today at noon for the heart blood pressure screening. Are both of you going to be there at the blood pressure screening? Either of you going to be there?
We'll be in and out.
You'll be in and out?
I'll be around.
All right. So that's a chance to say hello to nurse practitioner Phaedra McDonough and maybe cardiologist Dr. Mark Burke. Thanks so much for coming in today, and I guess we'll see you next Monday.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. We're talking about heart health during Heart Health Month. Brattleboro Memorial Hospital Center for Cardiovascular Health. We will be back in just a moment with the folks from Talk Radio News Service here on Live and Local.
The preceding content originally aired on the Live and Local program, which is broadcast on WKVT AM 1490 and 100.3 FM every weekday morning from 9 a.m. to noon. Download more podcasts at the website www.1490wkvt.com.